Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, you have made it to Friday, and what a Friday it is going to be. Welcome to your Newsmax Daily for March 22nd, 2024, the 82nd day of the year, the fourth Friday of this month. And I'm guessing you didn't have Oakland over Kentucky in your bracket. And did you know that Oakland is from Michigan and not actually California, as in Oakland, California? If you're not a sports fan and you have no clue what I'm talking about, that's okay. Just know that it is going to be a long, wild weekend. If you listen to the Jerry Callahan show, I'm sure Jerry and his team members are just losing their minds over what already happened in the very beginning of round one of the NCAA tournament. The Jerry Callahan Show, if you're not familiar, is one of the other great Newsmax podcasts, along with the Rob Carson Show and the Greg Kelly Show. Today, March 22nd, is World Water Day, first celebrated on this day in 1993, following a United Nations General Assembly resolution in 1992, highlighting the lack of fresh, clean water for more than 2 billion people around the world. Just think about that for a moment. Seriously, more than 2 billion people cannot go to the kitchen and turn on the faucet, or get filtered water from their refrigerator, or open up the pantry and just grab a bottle, as we do multiple times a day. Here in the great country of America and around the world, there'll be numerous World Water Day events taking place. And there are some major headlines and developments from around the world that we really need to start paying closer attention to. Russia, China, Iran, what's happening with Israel. But first, the breaking news today. Former President Donald Trump posting on his Truth Social this morning that he has secured the money needed for the New York fraud case come Monday. This is a day after the New York Attorney General filed judgments in Westchester County, New York, the first indication that the state is preparing to try and seize Donald Trump's golf course there in private estate that's north of Manhattan, known as Seven Springs. We go to this morning's edition of Wake Up America with Rob Finnerty and Charlotte McBride.
Former New Jersey Superior Court judge and host of the Judging Freedom podcast, Judge Andrew Napolitano. So, Judge, as we are just seeing, Donald Trump posting on Truth Social this morning saying he has the money.
If he has the money, he can deposit it in the court's bank account, and then all the efforts to execute on his property stop. Remember, he doesn't have to post the bond or deposit the money in order to file the appeal. He has an absolute right of appeal. He has to post the bond or deposit that money in order to stop the execution. So Attorney General James's salivating over 40 Wall Street will stop for 3 or 4 years. That's how long it will take for the appeal to be addressed, because they address these appeals in the order in which they were filed, and are years worth of appeals ahead of his.
I want to read again this Trump putting this on Truth Social just about an hour ago. Through hard work, talent, and luck, I currently have almost $500 million in cash, a substantial amount of which I intend to use in my campaign for president. That's changed. I did nothing wrong except win election in 2016 that I wasn't expected to win. I did even better in 2020, and he goes on and on from there. But basically, the former president, presumptive nominee for the Republican Party right now, indicating that he's got $500 million
I don't know. Is he going to use the $500 million to stop the execution, or is he going to use it for
clear
his campaign?
Up, was that election? Yeah, was it campaign money?
Right.
He says he has the money, and I guess that would pacify
why. Here's why I think the state is playing hardball to its own disadvantage. Mm. It's a very costly process for the state to be costly and slow for the state to be levying on these assets. If they agreed to a reduction in the amount of the bond, it's easier, cheaper, cleaner, and faster for the state if he posts a bond than if they have to start seizing assets. Why? Because he doesn't own anything in his own name. Mm. He has thousands of LLCs, small corporations that own, one owns this and one owns that, and this one is the parent of that, and this one is the sub of that. It's going to take the state a long time to navigate who owns what and how they can seize what. It will be a lot easier for the state if they said to the judge, okay, the judgment is $450 million. He's got half of that. Reduce the bond amount to half of that. Let him get the bond, and we'll just wait for the appeal to be filed. That's not what they want. They want to make his life miserable, so they're not going to do it. But they're making his life miserable at the expense of the taxpayers of the state of New York.
Former New Jersey Superior Court Judge Andrew Napolitano on Wake Up America. So there you go. That's going to be a huge story throughout the day and the weekend. Last night, Donald Trump Jr., executive vice president of the Trump Organization, spoke about the case with Eric Bolling.
For, I don't know, a couple of weeks when your father was being persecuted in New York about Mar-a-Lago's valuations and whatnot, and they kept saying $18 million. Your dad's like, are you out of your mind? $18 million for Mar-a-Lago, the parking place, one parking spot at Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 million. So for months, they said, $18 million. He's lying. It's eight. Listen to what came out yesterday on CNN. On CNN, listen.
The property that you alluded to, Mar-a-Lago, potentially, that could be something that could be sold quickly. I think the valuation is something in the hundreds of millions, and I think there could be a buyer for something like that. There's properties that are priced at 150 and 200 million that are nearby that. And Palm Beach is like the NVIDIA, of real estate. It's just shot up like a rocket.
So it went from $18 million to all of a sudden it's worth hundreds of millions of dollars when the narrative fits their purpose.
Listen, it's good to be a liberal. I wrote a book about liberal privilege. You know, however they want to value whatever makes sense for the narrative at the time is the way it's going to be worth. You heard that. There was 3-4 months of it's worth $18 million, and now it's worth hundreds of millions. Of course it's worth hundreds of millions. To her point, there's 1-acre lots that are going for $150 million in Palm Beach. Mar-a-Lago's 20 acres on the ocean, on the intercoastal. It stretches all the way across both sides. And, you know, let's just say the homes rather stunning as well. And so they can do that. They can say whatever it wants, and they can change it entirely to suit their purpose. There's no, again, there's no irony to any of these things. It's, you know, if it's worth $18 million, then that's good for the soundbite at the time. It's worth $18 million. If it's worth hundreds of millions the next day for a different purpose, it's worth hundreds of millions. And that's what's going on. And if you think it's going to stop at them going after Donald Trump, trying to seize his assets for what even some pretty liberal law professors in New York are saying a victimless crime. The alleged victim is testifying on our behalf that there was nothing wrong. It doesn't matter. They're willing to seize your assets. The people screaming about fascism are acting awfully a lot like the fascists. But it doesn't matter because you live in these sort of, you know, one-party rule states. And that's why all of these things are happening there and not in places where there's actually a chance of you getting a fair trial. They have no interest in fairness. They have no interest in law. They will weaponize each and everything they possibly can to hurt their political enemies. And that's what they're doing here.
That's Donald Trump Jr. on the balance with Eric Bolling, who asked him about the concerning story this week concerning his brother, Barron.
Your brother, Barron, turns 18, and we'll put the tweet up again, this guy, this former NBC executive, saying he's fair game. It's absolutely insane what they do, Don.
Yeah, remember, Barron at 18 is fair game, but Hunter Biden at 50, selling out our country is not. That, you know, he's not political. It's the irony and the hypocrisy, frankly, of the other side is just disgusting. I mean, they're truly just disgusting people, but they've had the full weight and force of the mainstream media and big tech to allow them to say these things out loud. They've been doing it for quite some time while critiquing the other side. But what's going on in America right now is truly disgusting. But these are the quote unquote elites. These are what they actually think of you.
18-year-old Barron Trump is fair game, but Hunter Biden at 50, selling out our country, is not. Donald Trump Jr. on The Balance with Eric Bolling, and you can catch Eric and The Balance weeknights at 8 o'clock Eastern. And this is quite the development. Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has been granted immunity by Special Counsel Jack Smith in exchange for testifying against his former boss, Donald Trump. Meadows is one of the 18 people indicted with Trump in the Georgia election interference case. I said there were some other world developments and big headlines. Frankly, things are getting pretty scary. A couple weeks back, I was talking almost every day about international tensions and things that were going on around the world. We know that U.S. troops have been training with South Korean troops in South Korea. That happens from time to time. But why do we have to learn from Taiwan that there are American troops in Taiwan? Why didn't the self-proclaimed most transparent administration tell us this? This is from Newsline with Bianca De La Garza and former Navy intelligence officer John Jordan.
There's confirmation U.S. troops are in Taiwan. If they try to put it under the guise of training, that's one thing. But we know Xi Jinping, now that this is public, with all the internal issues he's having, his economy. And I mean, is this going to trigger something more perilous?
Yeah, it's hard to know. China is certainly wanting to ratchet up tensions. The presence of U.S. troops in Taiwan does gum up the works for President Xi. The Chinese game for Taiwan isn't about an invasion. They want to demonstrate to the world or have the world believe that they have the capability of doing this. So that the idea is that if they escalate their war of words, it shapes public opinion in Taiwan, the United States, Japan, the Philippines, and other countries to make policy more accommodative to Beijing, so perhaps they can achieve their goals incrementally through diplomacy, with military capability or perception of that being the stick that drives it by threatening, credibly threatening war. The backdrop to this is China's internal problems. They have a huge debt problem led by their real estate market. Yep. And there's problems, there's indications, there's problems and instability within the upper reaches of the Chinese Communist Party. So President Xi has his task cut out for him. The situation is complex, but the presence of U.S. troops in Taiwan is really going to give the world pause and cause many countries to rethink this, as there is a deterrent value of American troops being there.
Well, obviously, too, there's an economic side. There's, you know, the chips that are manufactured in Taiwan, huge implications on many, many levels, just like what we see in the Red Sea with the Houthis attacks and the economic pain it can cause on global issues. Secretary Wilkie, can you please address the largest missile attack in Kyiv in weeks that was launched by Russia overnight? If you saw it was trending everywhere, this is some of the video into us. Putin obviously not backing down. There's reports he may have even a bigger army now. Where does this go from here? Because still no one's talking about off-ramps or diplomacy, just more funding.
Right. Right. And we're at the Ukrainians are in a perilous situation. The Russians are responding to attacks that the Ukrainians have made inside Russia. They're actually going deeper into Russia. The problem is that the Ukrainians' supply of ammunition, precision-guided munitions, particularly the promises from the Europeans, have dried up.
That's former Under Secretary of Defense Robert Wilkie on Newsline. So it's not only the United States, but funding for Ukraine is drying up from other European countries and from Canada as well, allowing Russia, who is getting a lot more cozy with China, to have more success in Ukraine. And God bless Ukraine. God bless the Ukrainian people, because they continue to put up a heck of a fight. Not only is Russia making inroads in Ukraine, but Ukraine is still making inroads in Russia, even with limited resources. Did you see the story a day or two ago that one of their attacks blew up one of Vladimir Putin's like most prized jets or something? And back on Monday, I mentioned that Vladimir Putin the landslide re-election that he had with a parade for himself. And since then, he has made disturbing comments about the use of nuclear weapons potentially on Ukraine and potentially on NATO allies. Bianca mentioned the Houthi rebels, right? Another terror organization backed by Iran. What happened to the Houthis? Did they all of a sudden go away and they just stopped trying to seize ships in the Straits of Hormuz? No, of course not. They're still at it. And remember at the beginning of the Biden presidency when they opened up the border and invited everyone into America, while they also dropped the terrorist designation of the Houthis. And then last month, when all of this came to light about the Houthis trying to kill Americans, they're like, oh yeah, yeah, the Houthis, they are terrorists. And today, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is back in Israel, his sixth visit there since the Israel-Hamas war started.
A major military operation in Rafah would be a mistake, something we don't support, and it's also not necessary to deal with Hamas, which is necessary.
Even though we never did anything to deal with Hamas. But again, the Biden administration trying to tell Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu what to do and how to do it. And we're promoting, we, the United States, is promoting a resolution, a ceasefire resolution, that is going to be voted on today by the UN Security Council. We go back to Undersecretary Wilkie.
Well, I think it's totally ridiculous. I mean, this is all about one word. It's about Michigan. They're deadly afraid that 100,000 people in Michigan will sit out the election. But let's just talk about what recently happened in the last day. The Israelis assaulted a hospital. They killed 140 Hamas killers inside the hospital. And now the Biden administration and Senator Schumer are emboldening Hamas and, by extension, Iran with a UN resolution that actually has the force of international law if it passes the Security Council. One last thing. Schumer and Biden certainly aren't reading the American public, because even Harvard has put out a poll saying that 81% of the American people support Israel's efforts to stamp out Hamas. So this is all about Michigan. It is disgusting. And I'll just say, Joe Lieberman said it in the Wall Street Journal. These people have crossed a red line that America has never gotten close to in the history of Israel.
Wow. Basically, the world is on fire. Yesterday, CENTCOM, that central command, warned about a growing alliance between China and Russia. The Biden administration warned us the other day, if you remember, about how Iran or one of its proxy groups could attack water supplies or other critical infrastructure. And we have troops in Taiwan. It's absolutely amazing to me how the mainstream media can continue to not talk about most of this, not report on it, not do any investigative journalism as to how much this administration has screwed things up. And Joe Biden even ran on foreign relations, if you remember. Here's what Governor Mike Huckabee had to say about the president after Wednesday's impeachment hearing.
The sad thing is that these hearings yesterday were very substantive, but the mainstream media is going to pretend that they didn't really happen and that there is no evidence. And I cannot tell you how many times I hear someone from the media or one of the talking heads on particularly BSNBC or the clown news network, CNN, say something like, well, there's been no evidence. Well, actually, there's been piles of evidence, but somebody has to pay attention. Rob, I want to just mention, I agree with you that unless you have the absolute ironclad votes to pass the impeachment, the smart play is to continue the hearings, continue the investigation, but don't bring it up for a vote until you have some Democrats who are willing to vote with you, or until somebody in the press finally decides that they're going to be a responsible journalist. Maybe they want a Pulitzer Prize over it. But the point being, otherwise, the investigations are important and significant. But taking a vote, even if you pass it, it goes to the Senate, it dies in 5 minutes, and Joe Biden goes out and announces that he's been exonerated, even though he won't have been.
Yeah, and speaking of the president, so Congressman Comer saying yesterday that he plans to invite Joe Biden to testify. Now, again, as you mentioned, it could be a subpoena. He could invite him to come. Do we actually see this happen?
No, there's no way that Joe Biden will ever go. Joe Biden won't even face a few reporters who are friendly to him. He sure isn't going to face James Comer and Jim Jordan. There's no way. And he'll argue separation of powers. He'll argue unprecedented push for a president to appear before Congress. And on some of those issues, he would be right. But it's interesting, the Democrats, they don't mind putting every kind of pressure against Donald Trump. 91 different counts of indictments and all these charges being filed at the state, local, and national level in order to not just influence the election, but to destroy it. And in the so doing, and I wish Liz Cheney would wake up and see this, you talk about a real threat to democracy? It's using the powers of the existing government to go after your political opponent. It's banana republic stuff. It's the stuff of third world countries. And it's not just wrong, it's an embarrassment to the United States and its Constitution.
Former Arkansas governor and presidential candidate Mike Huckabee on Wake Up America. And after a busy week of campaigning, President Biden and the First Lady are headed home to Delaware today for the weekend. I can guarantee you, pretty much guarantee you, that the weekend talk shows on all the networks will be explosive over the Trump news and some of the other very concerning world news I mentioned. Make sure you keep it on Newsmax today and all weekend long. Don't forget about Wake Up America Weekend Edition Saturday and Sunday starting at 7 a.m. There's the Saturday and Sunday Report, Saturday and Sunday Agenda, America Right Now, Sebastian Gorka, and much more. And make sure you have Newsmax Plus. If not, go to NewsmaxPlus.com right now and get signed up. You can get a free trial. It includes all of your favorite shows and hosts. Thank you for listening to the Newsmax Daily. Continue to share it with your friends and family. I appreciate that. I'm Tony Marino. Have a fantastic and safe weekend doing whatever it is you love to do. And keep on fighting the good fight.
News breaks every minute, every day. You need the app, the Newsmax app. Find it free on your smartphone store. Then watch us anytime, anywhere.